That song just builds up to that fourth stanza. Aren't you thankful that he's coming back? Our King is coming back. And hallelujah, what a Savior we have. I'm so thankful that you're here this morning and hope that you had a great week. And it's a busy weekend for me, but I'm thankful for it and thankful to be here in the Lord's house. And let's go back to the book of Acts. Go back to Acts chapter 2. You know, last week we looked at a very incredible moment in the early church. That moment when the Spirit of God came. Church was baptized with the Spirit. And Peter, being filled with the Spirit, got up and preached to that great multitude of people, thousands of people from all over. We're talking about a multinational crowd here, people from all over the, in fact, he says, under every nation under heaven. They were gathered here in Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost. And we see Peter, he goes from being this tongue-tied coward in the courtyard of the high priest to a bold, fearless preacher of the gospel of Jesus. And 3,000 people received Christ that day. It says they gladly received his word, verse 41, and were baptized. You know, sometimes I don't think we realize what was involved in this Jewish audience for verse 41 to take place. I mean, of course, we know it was the Holy Spirit that brought them to that place of repentance and asking, what shall we do? But what I'm saying is that for these Jews who just 40 plus days before, about 50 days before, they were crying out, crucify him. They crucified Christ, and Peter said, you with wicked hands, you have taken and crucified. And now to see 3,000 of these Jews take a public stand for Christ, to identify with the crucified Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, it's quite a thing, you know, for them to come out and publicly profess Christ and to be baptized and to be joined to this gathered church and be part of this church. I mean, it was quite a deal. But what now? What's next? You know, is being the church all about these incredible championship moments? You know, we're going to have the Super Bowl next week, and I'm not a big fan of it, but it's coming, and some of you may be thinking about it. And you know, is that all it's about? These just incredible moments, this championship moments? I mean, that's what it was here. I mean, what a moment. What a day. I mean, spiritually, what a day the church experienced that day. To go from 120 to 3,120 people getting saved. And you know, is there more than this? Is there something in between these moments? Or do we just simply hang on and waiting for another big moment like that to happen? Or do we just dare to be the church and day to day, on any ordinary day, be the church? And that's what we're going to see today, is that the church being the church daily. And, you know, I want to just say something as we're getting into Acts now. We're a month in. I want to say that Acts is both transitional and foundational. And what I mean by that is there are some things in the book of Acts that are part of a transitional time in history. We're transitioning from the Old Testament, from Israel, from the temple, from sacrifices, and all those things into a new age, the age of the church, the age of the gospel, the age of the Spirit, the age of grace. We can call it many different things. And so this is right in that transitional time. The church is just young. It's a baby. Jesus started his church. He built his church. And now the church is empowered. And what I'm saying by transitional, I'm saying that there are some things in the book of Acts that are not going to be repeated. And something that we're not to be looking to happen here today in 2023. The Feast of Pentecost, for example, that's not going to be repeated. We talked about that. This manifestation of other tongues, they were speaking in other languages and dialects. This is not something that we are looking for at this time. This was during this time and before they had the New Testament scriptures. This was a witness to the Jews of the apostles' message and teaching and so on. And so what I'm saying is there are some things that are transitional, but there's some things here we're going to find in Acts, and that's what we're focusing on, is those things that are foundational. You know, things like being filled with the Spirit. I mean, that's something that we need today. Things like the mission of the church to be witnesses unto Jesus. That is foundational. That's not something that just passed with the passing of the apostles. No, we still have that responsibility today to be witnesses for Jesus. It's a foundational thing. You know, when the Spirit of God led these people to Christ, and we have 3,000 souls being added to the church. And by the way, if you'll look in verse 47, it said, "And the Lord added to the church daily." And so that's what they were added to. When you look in verse 41, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. It's talking about the church. The apostles were... Jesus started the church with the 12 apostles, and it grew from there. And so they were baptized and added to the church. This is a very important truth. I mean, it's sad today how many professing Christians are not in church. They're not added to a church. They're not a member of a church. They're not a participant in church. I mean, there are a lot of people that are members of churches even that are just spectators. They're just spectating. They're not partnering with Jesus in the mission that he gave to the church. And you know, that burdens my heart as a pastor, you know, because when I look at the New Testament, I look at the book of Acts, I see that all the disciples and the members of these churches, they were all active in using their spiritual gift, and they were all witnesses. They were all participants. They were all in one accord. They continued together doing some very important things, and that's why they were so effective, and that's why they were told, or their testimony to the world of them, they turned the world upside down. You don't turn the world upside down when churches are full of spectators. That's not how you change the world, with people just coming to church to spectate and watch. And that's not what it's about. But I feel like that, you know, here in our American churches, it wasn't always that way, but over the years, it has become normal in our church, in our churches today, for the normal Christian is you join the church and your only duty is to show up and give and be here and be faithful to church. And that's what most people think, that that's the normal Christian life. We just show up at church and we listen to the message and we sing songs, we give to our tithes and offerings and that's it. But that's not what I see in the book of Acts. That's not what I see in the early church. These people, they came together for a purpose. They had some core values that they were devoted to, so that when they left their gathering of their church, they went out there and they were witnesses and they were preaching and they were teaching. And as I brought out in, I think, the second message, that most of the references to preaching and teaching in the book of Acts are all in the context of out there and not in a church gathering. We have very few references in Acts of an actual church service, of preaching in church services, but we know they did those things. We know that they taught. We're going to see that this morning. But my point is that, you know, they were devoted to the Great Commission. Jesus had given them the Great Commission. And so when these 3,000 came in to the church, now it's the responsibility of this church of 120. Think about this responsibility. This 120 to teach these 3,000 what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. What it means to be a member of Jesus' church. You know, that's what Jesus told them in Matthew 28. He said in the Great Commission passage, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Well, that's what they were doing here. But notice he went on to say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So we're coming to that portion. After they're baptized and they're added to the church, there's this important principle Jesus taught, this command, the teaching them to observe all things that he had commanded. So these people, they heard and received the word of God. They followed with the confession of faith and public baptism. They were added to the church. Now we're going to look at, in verse 42, what took place. Let's look at verse 42 again. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers." Here in verse 42, I want to look at this in a way to help you understand what this verse is talking about when it says they continue steadfastly. And I'm going to talk about it this way, that there's four core values that they had as a church. Four things that would drive their lives and their behavior. And these things were not casual, take it or leave it things. These were things that they gave themselves to fully as new believers in Christ. And the reason why I'm using core values is because I'm trying to connect with this generation today, and because most businesses have a mission statement. Even our church, we have a mission statement. And most businesses have what they call core values. And I want to just take just a real quick moment to explain, if you don't know. Core values are an individual or organization's fundamental beliefs and highest priorities that drive their behavior. That's just a simple definition I pulled off of the dictionary online. And so it could be an individual or organization's fundamental beliefs and highest priorities that drive their behavior. Core, you think about that word core, it means central to the existence or character of someone or something. It's the heart, it's the inner part of a person. So the core of your being, this was the core of their beliefs, their core of what they valued. Not word value. I think we understand value. Speaks of something that we consider of great worth. We esteem something important. And so core values, you put those two together, it's what we at our very core value as a church. What did this church of Jesus, what was part of their core values that they valued so much that made them what they were. We're going to look at these things, and we're going to focus on one a week. We've been going pretty fast through Acts, but we're going to kind of just slow it down just a little bit. And we're going to look at these four things, one today and three the next 3 weeks, one a week. Because, and the reason why is because I believe they're so important. They're so important to the rest of the book. This is what drove the church. This was the engine, if you would, of the church. This is what made them such a mighty force in the Roman Empire. This is what caused them to be such a powerful, spirit-filled church that made a difference in their world and their culture. And so we're going to focus on these things. And I really believe if we want to be the church Jesus intended us to be, we need to pay attention to these things. They weren't put in the scripture by accident. Luke wasn't just throwing these in there. There's something here Luke was observing as something that this church that Jesus started, this was what they valued. This is what they gave themselves for. And I'm going to break it down for you so you can see it very clearly. So I want you to look at, again at verse 42. Let's look at that first phrase. And they continued steadfastly. This is an imperfect verb. And the imperfect tense speaks of something that's ongoing, occurring over again and again and again. So I want you to understand that this was not something they did once or just once in a while. This was something that they did continuously. This was something, in fact, later we see it talks about daily. If you'll look in verse 46, and they, here you see the word continuing. Again, notice that. And continuing daily with one accord. And so this is something that was something they were doing daily. It was not just something that was casual, not something that was just optional. You know, like a lot of people today, they look at church, well, if it works out my schedule, I'll make it to church. You know, it's like it's an optional thing. We have an option whether we want to go to church this week or not. It's like a lot of people today, they're not devoted to church. They're not devoted to some of these things that we're going to look at. And so continued steadfastly, it means that they were attending constantly to these things. It has the idea that they were intently engaged in these things. Another definition that was given in Mount's Greek lexicon was they were intently devoted to. And I like that one, and I'm going to choose that one this morning to. And in this series, is they were intently devoted. That continued steadfastly has this idea that of intention. They were intentional about these things. You know, it's interesting that that was what was brought up in our prayer meeting this morning. I heard it in Connect. It's like that's been the word of the day so far. If you've been here and is intentional, Brother Tim brought it up as we started worship service. Be intentional. God was intentional. Let us be intentional. And these people were intentional about some things. They were so intentional that they were devoted to these things. This was what they engaged in. They attended to constantly. You know, devotion, if you think about, or devoted, you think about that word, what comes to your mind? You know, thinking about a husband that's devoted to his wife. What do you think about? Do you think about he's just casual with his wife? He just, you know, once in a while he says, I love you. Once in a while he talks. And no, if you use the word devoted, a husband's devoted to his wife. You're talking about a man he's continuously doing something. He's intentional. Brother Justin brought that up. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up, and a time for us to be intentional to do some things to show we love someone. And that's a good thought. I mean, it's this word intentional. They were intently devoted to these things. And this word devotion, I think of heart. You know, when Tim was up there talking about intentional, I was hoping he'd look my way. He never did. I was going to do this. When he said, stand up. You know, he's having this raise our Bible and the different things. And he said, stand up. And, you know, and I was like, I'm just going to do this heart, you know. We stand up and we're giving God our heart. We're offering God. Okay, here's my heart. Speak to my heart. That's what I think of. That's why I chose this word devoted. Steadfastly is here in our Bible, and it's good too. But I like devoted as a definition of that. Continue steadfastly because it has more of the idea of the heart. It was their heart who was involved in this. They valued this so much that they devoted their lives to these things. And the first one, of course, we're going to look at, you see, is the apostles' doctrine. That's the first thing mentioned here in verse 42. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This word doctrine is not very popular today in churches among Christians. Oh, we don't really need doctrine. We just, if you love Jesus, that's all that matters. Well, let me ask you a question. If you think that, what Jesus? Who is Jesus? How do you know Jesus? Who's your authority? Where'd you get your information? What Jesus? There's a lot of Jesuses being preached today that are not the Jesus in the Bible. There's a group that preaches Jesus is a spirit being, an angel that God created, that's a brother of Lucifer who fell and became Satan. So there are some people say Jesus is the brother of Satan. That's not the same Jesus that I see in the Bible. So my point is how do you know about Jesus? How do we know how to be saved? How do we know God? You know, it comes back to doctrine. It comes back to the Word of God. The Apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is a word, didasko. It basically means teaching or instruction. And I want to just say that this is the heart of discipleship. The apostles' doctrine is at the heart of discipleship. Remember Jesus said, I want you to go. I want you to teach all nations. That word teach in the original language is a different word than the second word, teaching all things. The first one has the idea of making disciples. Go teaching and preaching the gospel with the intent of making disciples, and then baptize those disciples. And then he uses didasko, teaching them to observe all things. And that's where doctrine comes from, that word doctrine. And so it's like, I want you to go teaching them. I want you to go give them doctrine. I want you to give them instruction of everything that I taught you. I want you to teach them. And I want you to teach them not just so they know, but that they observe it. Teach them to observe. That means to obey, to follow it. Now, I want you to think about apostles' doctrine. We don't have apostles today. You know, when you go back to Acts 1, when they had to replace Judas, they laid down a requirement to be an apostle. You had to be, from the time that John the Baptist began preaching and baptizing, you had to start from that moment following Christ all the way up to his resurrection and ascension. And they found two men, and they chose between those two men. Well, after the apostles died, we don't have apostles in that sense anymore. In Ephesians 2:20, it says that the foundation, he laid the foundation of the church with the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So the foundation of the church was laid with the apostles and the prophets. But we don't have apostles today. But he says here they were devoted to the apostles' doctrine. But I want to just kind of expound what that is and what it means for us today, because, you know, we don't have apostles today. But and I want to just say that these apostles, at this very time that this was written, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not at this point. It was later that those were written. What did the apostles have? What were they teaching? Well, I want you to think about it. Just let's be honest and just use your mind a little bit. They had been walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. There, at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus called 12, called them apostles. So these men, they would have heard Jesus preach that Sermon on the Mount, that most famous sermon we read in Matthew 5 through 7. It begins, "Blessed is the poor in spirit." You know what I'm talking about. That whole passage, they would have been there. They would have been sitting there watching and listening to Jesus preach that. They would have been there when Jesus preached the parables about the kingdom. They were there in the upper room when Jesus was given what we call the upper room discourse, John chapters 13 through 16. They were there when Jesus wept over Jerusalem. They were there when he gave them the prophecies there in Matthew 24 and 25. They were there in the fireside chats with Jesus after the parables. Remember, they were in private asking Jesus, "Well, what does that mean? We don't understand." And he would sit there and explain what they meant. They were there for 3.5 years with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They watched him. They listened to him. And when you look at the ministry of Jesus, you see that Jesus did not just teach. And in fact, Luke tells us, remember, when we started Acts, in verse 1, chapter 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began," notice, "both to do and teach." So they were learning by word and by deed. Jesus modeled these things. He lived these things. If you were reading in our Bible reading, remember Luke chapter 11? They saw Jesus praying. They were with him in his prayer times many times, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They had one-on-one, life-on-life discipleship. Intentional, relational discipleship. They had it for 3.5 years. And I guarantee you they learned a lot more than what anybody learned in Bible college in 3 years. They had the best teacher for sure, the master teacher. And I like, if you would, go to Luke chapter 24. When we've looked at this passage, but I want to look at it again. And so you have to start thinking, what is the apostles' doctrine? Well, there's all these things that he had taught them and he modeled for them. And then after his resurrection, in Luke 24, notice what it says in verse 44. This is something that he taught them after his resurrection. "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you." He had already spoke these things to them. "While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." See, he'd been teaching. What was Jesus' teaching based on? The Old Testament Scripture. You know, these three things, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, are the three divisions of the Hebrew Bible. The law would be, of course, the writings of Moses, the law of Moses, particularly the first 5 books of the Bible. And then you have the prophets, and you have the Psalms. And Psalms would include Proverbs and Job, all the poetic books. So basically, this is how the Old Testament, the Hebrews divided the Old Testament scripture in these three categories. And so Jesus, he had the Old Testament scriptures, and he expounded it to them throughout his ministry. That was the basis of his preaching. Of course, he also preached other things too, new things, because he's the Word made flesh. But what I want you to see in verse 45, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. So based on this passage, he's commanded them. He's given them a job to do. And that's what's taking place here in Acts 2. These apostles of Jesus, they're taking everything that he taught them. And so based on that Luke passage, I can tell you the apostles' doctrine would have included the Old Testament. It would have included going through the law of Moses and showing how these pointed to Jesus. He'd been going through the prophets and going through the Psalms. And they would have been expounding those things that Jesus showed them. In Acts 1, Jesus spoke of them in those 40 days after his resurrection concerning the kingdom of God. They would have been preaching about that. They would have been teaching people about the vine. John 15, that discourse. I am the true vine. You're the branches. Abide in me and I in you. You remember that? Shall bear much fruit. Without me you can do nothing. They would have been teaching those things. All the things that Jesus taught, they were teaching. And so I can conclude that the apostles' doctrine was basically Jesus' doctrine. Jesus' doctrine is basically God's doctrine, because he is the Son of God, and he was preaching the Old Testament, and he's preaching as the Son of God. So basically what we're looking at here, the apostles' doctrine was God's doctrine. God's teachings that was given to them by Jesus, by word and deed. You know, in Acts chapter 5, verse 28, these leaders said to the apostles, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. What were they doing? They were teaching doctrine. They were out there teaching what Jesus had taught them. You know, I like what Jesus said in John 7:16. He said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So what was Jesus teaching? It was from God. He was teaching them. And I love reading through the Gospels. I was looking up the word doctrine, and I think it's four or five times that it has this phrase in the Gospels. They were astonished at his doctrine. The people were astonished. Jesus came and he preached with authority. He preached with power. They were astonished at his doctrine. The apostles listened and they took that. And later, in Acts 4:13, we find that this people were amazed and marveled at their teaching. Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, it's an unfortunate thing, as I said earlier, that there's so much in our churches today that says doctrine is not important. But Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. It's just simply teaching. Doctrine is teaching. You know, how can we as a church know who God is without teaching? How can we know God's will without teaching? How can we know the mission of our church, what we're supposed to be doing, without teaching, without doctrine? How can we know about the Holy Spirit without doctrine? How can we know about the church without doctrine? How can we know how to walk with God without doctrine, without teaching? I want to just say that the apostles' doctrine is fundamental to discipleship. You can't make disciples without teaching. Teaching what? The apostles' doctrine. Well, we don't have apostles, Pastor, but I'm glad to tell you that even though we don't have Scripture, apostles today, we have Scripture today. We have the New Testament. The apostles that wrote the Gospels. We have the apostles that wrote the epistles. We have the Scriptures today. We have their teaching recorded for us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and preserved without error. We have it right here in our hands. We're so blessed to have. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture, what does all mean? It means both Old and New Testament. All of it. And it's profitable. For, notice this first word, doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is profitable for doctrine. We don't have apostles, but we have their teaching in the Bible. We have it recorded for us. We can go and study it. We can go and get direction and instruction. And did you know that that is what God expects pastors to do? That one of the chief responsibilities of a pastor is to feed the flock of God. What does that mean? To feed doctrine, to feed the Word of God, to give instruction. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 5:17. Now, Timothy is one of those pastoral epistles. Paul is writing to young Timothy, who's a pastor. He's giving pastoral instruction. And he says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So Paul said that the elders, the pastors that labor in the word and labor in doctrine, they should be given double honor. And that's not just speaking of just honoring them, but it's speaking of monetarily honoring them double, because they're given good doctrine. They're laboring in a work that is so vital and so essential to churches. And back in chapter 4, verse 16, in 1 Timothy, he says, take heed unto thyself. He's writing to Timothy. Thyself is singular. He's speaking to Timothy singular. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In 2 Timothy, he says this in chapter 4. I was in a preaching workshop yesterday, and I heard this passage preached, and great message, encouragement, and reminder of the high calling of God. But he says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That is a command. And if I didn't read verse 1. He said, I charge you before God. Now, I remember the preacher that preached that Friday night, man. He was saying, listen, you're going to stand before God. He's saying, I'm charging you before God, who's going to judge the living and the dead. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Why do we preach doctrine? Why is it so important? Well, Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:14, you know, in Ephesians he talks about the gifts that he's given, Jesus has given to the church, his churches. And he says in verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets. Of course, we don't have them now. Some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did he give them? It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now verse 14, notice, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we must be devoted to it, because there's so much false doctrine. And back in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I'm guaranteeing you right now that you can find a church that will itch your ears. There's plenty of them out there. I mean, if you don't like the Word of God, you can find a church that will preach what you like, that makes you feel good. But that's not what you need. You need the apostles' doctrine. You need the Word of God. You know, Jesus, when he was tempted of the devil, remember, the devil said, you know, command these stones be made bread. He hadn't eaten in 40 days. He's fasted 40 days. But he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We can't live spiritually without the Word of God. It's impossible. The Word of God is so vital to a church. It's so vital. It's one of those core values that we must have. If we want to be Jesus' church, we have to have this as a core value, that this is something that we are going to highly esteem and value. The apostles' doctrine, Jesus' teachings, the Word of God. You know, I'm telling you, this is the easiest message of the four. Because I know we as Baptists, this is something we verbally assent to. Yes, we need preaching, we need teaching, we need the Word of God, we believe the Word of God. I mean, that's part of our faith as Baptists. But before you get out of this too quickly, you know, when it says that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, when you start looking up the meanings of that continue steadfastly, to adhere to attend to, and you think about Jesus teaching them to observe all things, it's more than us just coming and listening to the Word of God. Just because you came today to hear me preach this message is not the whole of the apostles of this verse, continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. This is part of it, but this is not the whole of it. This is part of it. And let me just say again, Jesus, he not only taught the doctrine, he modeled the doctrine. Remember, all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Back in 2 Timothy, I know there's a lot of scripture, but it's important. 2 Timothy 3:10, this is Paul's words. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. He wasn't one of the 12 apostles. He was of another kind. He was commissioned by Jesus personally to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And so when you come to 2 Timothy 3:10, this is what Paul wrote to Timothy. Paul's writing to this pastor, this young preacher. He's saying this, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, But he didn't stop there. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Paul was living the doctrine. He wasn't just teaching it. He was living the doctrine of Christ. And Titus, he wrote to Titus in chapter 2, verse 7, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Then he said in verse 10, "Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." I chose that verse because it says adorn the doctrine. What that means is live it out. Show it. Don't just teach it, live it. Don't just get up and preach. You need to pray, Christian. Are you praying? Do you have a life of prayer? Don't just get up and say, "Hey, yeah, you need to give." Do you give? Oh, you need to be witnesses. Are you witnessing? That's what makes it hard to be a pastor and a preacher. We get up and preach the Word of God, and we're looking at this like, "Lord, help me." Because we're just like, I'm just like you. I'm still a work in progress. But we need to be intently devoted to the biblical teaching of God's Word. And you know, go back to Acts 2 real quick, please. In Acts 2, where it says in verse 46, "And they continue in daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." There's something that they were doing daily. They were gathering together daily. The temple would be like a corporate setting. You know, they didn't have a church building. They couldn't put 3,120 people in a house. How many of you could put that many in your living room? It'd be hard, wouldn't it? I don't think it's even possible to pack that many people in a house. And so they where would they assemble? They'd go out in the temple courtyards. They'd go out there and corporately gather. What were they doing out there? It says they were praising God. Praising God. They were doing these things they've spoken of in verse 42. They were doing these corporate. They were gathering out there. And then it says house to house. There was also small groups setting. And so I want you to understand that this apostles' doctrine is, it's not just limited to the pulpit ministry of the church, but there's small group, there's Sunday school, there's connect classes, there's discipleship group, there's Bible studies, there's counseling, biblical counseling and teaching. There's all means in which the Word of God is given in a corporate setting that a church does. And one of the purposes of our gatherings is this purpose right here. One of the not the only purposes we're going to see in the next few weeks, but one of the purposes is we gather for biblical teaching. That's one of the purposes and one of the values that we must value this. We must value this so much that, like Brother Tim said, get your notes and your pen and write these things down and be intently devoted to these things. And not just to write them down so you have them on paper, but write them down so you can go home and pray over these things and meditate over these things. And how can you put these things into practice in your life? How can you share these with other people and be a repeater and share the faith? So if we're going to be devoted to be the church that Jesus started here, if we're going to be like this church, we need to be devoted to biblical nourishment, biblical teaching, both in a corporate gathering and both in small group gathering and with other people. In this context, I don't see personal. Though I'm going to say that's important too, that we all personally walk with God, that we all have our personal private time with God. Jesus taught that, did he not, in Matthew 6? To go in your prayer closet. To go in your closet and talk to the Father. I mean, there are a lot of scriptures. We looked at Psalm 1 this morning. Blessed is a man. What does he do? He meditates day and night in the Word of God. He delights in the Word of God. Yeah, there are some personal things we have to do, but this context is talking about the church. This is talking about a corporate thing. We as a church devoted to biblical instruction. And it's that part of the Great Commission, teaching them to observe. Teaching them who? The church, the members of the church, the disciples of Jesus, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. So we're to be teaching one another the Word of God. Not just, yeah, it's my ministry, my primary ministry, but you should be involved too. It's not just my ministry, you should be involved too. You should. Right after we close church, we're going to talk more about this next week. We're going to get in fellowship, but exhort, admonish one another, encourage, share truth that you learned today. Be devoted to it. Be value the Word of God. And I'm telling you, a lot of Christians don't value. They don't value it. They do by lip, but they don't really by heart value, because they come to church and listen, they leave and do nothing with it. Absolutely nothing. It doesn't change their life. They don't think about it another minute. As soon as the last prayer is prayed and they go out those doors, they don't think about what they heard in Connect. They don't think about what they heard in preaching another minute. They file that note away in their Bible and they never look at it again. Now that's where I'm starting to step on some toes, right? Do you value biblical teaching? I'm not asking you to give lip service to. Do you value with your heart biblical teaching? Are you committed, devoted to learning God's Word, what Jesus wants you to be as His disciple? And are you devoted to obeying, observing what He teaches? That's what I'm talking about. This is, I gave you all that, all those scriptures just to lay a foundation. Now is the preaching time, and I don't have much time. But now is the preaching time. Now is where the rubber meets the road. Now is where we put this into practice. Do you value the Word of God? Do you love the Word of God? Are you going to go home today and stew over this and meditate on this? You're going to be talking with one another and your family about this. And, you know, yeah, I need to be devoted to biblical teaching. I need to get more intentional. Remember, intently devoted? They were intently devoted. Get more intentional about it. I need to take better notes at church, and I need to take these notes and spend some time in them. I need to go deeper in the Word of God in my personal time. And then I need to take and share these when I go to church on Wednesday. I need to share with somebody. Or I need to ask somebody, hey, what did God teach you Sunday? And how's God using that in your life this week? You know, if people's doing that, I'm telling you, well, I'm going to be like, man, they're devoted to this. They're devoted to the Word of God. They want to grow and be like Jesus. You know, one of my favorite verses in this book is, we read it a while ago, but chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And they had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. That biblical teaching that Jesus gave them for 3.5 years, it changed their lives. It transformed their lives. These were unlearned, ignorant men. These were just common men. They didn't have a seminary education. But here are these religious leaders that did have a seminary education. They're like, wow, how do these guys preach like this? How do these guys have this knowledge of the Scripture? How do they have this power and authority? Because they were devoted to it. Now, you go back to the apostles, they were devoted, wasn't they? Peter, James, and John, we know, what did they do? They left their nets. That was their occupation. That was their source of income. Jesus said, come follow me. They just left it. Their father's standing there with the nets. Goodbye, Dad. We're going to follow Jesus. Do you ever put yourself in that place? We read those stories, but we don't even, like, what would that be like today? I'm not saying Jesus is going to tell you to go resign your job tomorrow and sell all your goods and just go out there on the streets and preach. But I am saying that you should be willing to. Are you that devoted disciple of Jesus? That's they were. Whatever it took, they did it. They gave it all up. They left it all. And they followed Jesus. And they were with him 3.5 years, in and out through the whole time. You talk about devoted now. What was Jesus doing? He wasn't just playing fun and games. He was teaching them. He was giving them doctrine. He was doing other things. He was showing them. You know, he taught them the model prayer. But he had been showing them in the garden. And they listened to him pray. They were devoted people. And I look at Christianity today, it's like, it falls short of what I see here. I mean, I'm looking at Christianity today. You pray this prayer. You get baptized. But then you see a lot of people after that, they disappear. Never see them again. Are you a follower of Christ, or did you just get your ticket to heaven and that's all it was to you? You know, Jesus, I don't even see in the Gospels or the book of Acts any preaching, would you like to go to heaven? Pray this prayer. You won't find it anywhere in the Bible. You hear preaching about the kingdom. You hear preaching about following Christ. You hear preaching about eternal life. But eternal life is not when we die and get to heaven. We get it now. Repent. Weave on me and you have eternal life. You're transformed now. Follow me. That's the beginning. You start following Jesus. And he has a purpose for your life. To be his witness. That's what Christianity in the Bible is. But when we look at our Christianity in churches today, it doesn't even resemble that. And people are like, they're just thinking, I want to go to heaven when I die. And so I'm going to pray this prayer. And I'm going to attend church, you know, as much as possible, just enough. So just to make sure I make it there. You better do a check on your heart. Make sure that you are saved. Make sure you know Christ is your Savior. And look at the Bible. Learn what the Bible says about the doctrine of salvation. Learn what the Bible says about the doctrine of the Christian life. And see whether you measure up. Let's stand. I know that's an abrupt end. But I want you to stay, and I don't want to just ramble on, but I want to go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, we're so thankful for how much you love us. Lord, your goodness toward us, and we're so undeserving as sinners that you were intentional, Father, to send Jesus. Even before the foundation of the world, you were intentional about it. And Jesus, when you came in this world, you were intentional. think about, we read in Luke about how you had your mind set going to Jerusalem. You had your face set like a flint, because that was the Father's will for your life, to go to the cross. You were intentional to fulfill His will and to be a sacrifice for our sins, to pay for our sin debts. Oh, Jesus, you were fully devoted to your Father and doing His will, accomplishing His work. And these men you trained, they were fully devoted to you to accomplish your will and your work. And then these men, as they were teaching these 3,000 new converts here at Jerusalem, Luke records for us that they all continued steadfastly. They continued in one accord. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking the bread and prayer. These people were devoted. They were changed. They were transformed. They loved Christ. They wanted to follow Him and serve Him. They valued Jesus. They considered Jesus worthy of their lives. Many of them went on to die for Christ. Lord, as we look at our own lives today, we're far removed from 2,000 years ago, the church on the day of Pentecost. But Lord, I know your desire for us is to be intently devoted to you, and following you, loving you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul. To being intently devoted to biblical teaching, biblical doctrine, to learning about you, the doctrine of God, to learning about other doctrines in the Bible so that we can serve you and so we can be your witnesses. God, you've given to the responsibility of our church to make disciples, to baptize them, and then to teach them, disciple them in these things, to give them biblical teaching and training so that they can be witnesses, be equipped to serve Christ. God, as we look at our life, and is our life where we should be? Are we truly a child of God? Do we know Jesus as our Savior? Are we following Jesus as His disciple? Do we realize that He's our Lord? He's our Master. Are we following Him? Are we devoted to Him? Are we showing that love and devotion to Him by our devotion to His Word, to biblical teaching? Not just listening to it, but being a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. God, I pray as we take stock of our lives, as we look at our hearts, we need your grace. We need to look to you. You're our strength. You're our salvation. You're the lover of our souls. God, I pray that during this invitation that you would work in the hearts of your people that are here, help them to see what should be one of their core values in their lives. A devotion to biblical teaching, biblical doctrine. And I pray for those here that do not know Christ, and maybe someone here that's not truly saved, I pray the Holy Spirit would reveal that in their hearts and help them to see the great love that you have for them and your invitation to hear your voice calling them to come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. All that they might come to Jesus today to get rest in Jesus, rest in their souls, be set free from sin and fear and burdens. And God, we pray you'd bless this time of invitation, Lord. Please of your way and will. I'm praying, God, that your will be done as in heaven, so on earth today. For it's in Jesus' name I pray.